This morning we're in Hebrews chapter 10. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles, please, Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll confess up front, this is not one of those get you lifted up and encouraged type messages necessarily. But it's something that we always need on a regular basis, and that is just to be reminded that God wants us to live for Him. And that if we choose not to, there could be consequences. So beginning in chapter 10 of verse 26 of Hebrews, the Bible says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So I've entitled the message, A Fearful Thing. A Fearful Thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to assemble together in the name of Jesus Christ and open your word. We come now with expectant hearts and ask that we would hear from you today, that you would work miracles in our lives and guide us. And Lord, whatever needs to be done in our hearts, you would do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, through your word. May you be glorified in this service. We love you so much and commit it all. And in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, we know this is written to Christians, and we'll explain that more when we get on down to verse 29. But Paul is writing to Christians, and he's reminding us that our God is a great God and a great Father. And a good father corrects his children when they need it. The Bible makes that very clear. The Bible talks about parenting in the book of Proverbs. It says, He that spareth his rod hateth his son. That's some pretty strong words. But it says, But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. In other words, love and chastisement go hand in hand with God. And as he says here in verse 26, if we sin willfully, whenever we choose to sin, we're doing it willfully. God gave us a free will. He didn't make us robots. Even after we were saved, we still have a free will. We still can decide to obey or not to obey. If you would look back at Galatians chapter 5, the Bible explains that we have a battle, and we are going to fight this battle from the day we're saved until the day we leave this earth. It is a battle between the spirit and the flesh. And I have to tell you, the battle never goes away. You can never reach a point as a Christian where you no longer battle the flesh. It would be wonderful if it were true, but it never stops. Notice Galatians 5:17, the Bible says, For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The spirit and the flesh are contrary to each other. Now, before we're saved, there is no battle. You know why? Because the spirit's dead. Man's spirit is dead. It hasn't been quickened yet with the life of the Holy Spirit. But once we are saved and we've been given new life, now man's spirit is alive. That is the means by which we worship God, right? We worship God in spirit and in truth. That spirit that's alive lives in us, has been given life. But the flesh is still there. It's crucified, but it's still there. So when we sin, as it says here in 10:26 of Hebrews, we sin willfully. We have made a conscious decision to sin. We have no place to say, the devil made me do it. It's not my fault. It doesn't work like that. We are accountable for our behavior. And if we sin, we're doing it willfully. Notice it says in verse 26, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. That means after we've been saved. Because if you've received the knowledge of the truth, the Bible says, you're saved. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." When you've received the knowledge of the truth, the Bible says you're saved. And notice it goes on to say, "There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." If you're a Bible believer, you don't believe in weekly sacrifice, as some people who claim to be Christians do. We believe there was only one, once for all, as it says in Hebrews 10:10, and that was 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. That payment was sufficient for all sin. And that's what God is saying. There is no more sacrifice. If we sin after we're saved, that sin doesn't require more sacrifice. The sacrifice is done through Jesus Christ. God explains this if you look over in Hebrews chapter 6, a passage that a lot of people struggle with, but when you really understand it, it just makes sense. A lot of people look at this passage and think that it teaches you can lose your salvation, but it actually teaches the opposite. Notice it says in verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame." This passage makes it very clear that you can't be saved twice, because you can never get unsaved once you're saved. But there is no more sacrifice. That's what God is saying. We don't need a re-sacrifice. We don't need a repayment. And a lot of people confuse payment with punishment when it comes to sin. And so he goes on to explain back in our passage, Hebrews 10, verse 27, "But a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." And then he reminds us in the Old Testament, things were much more harsh. You could be stoned to death for cursing your parents. You know, we often think, well, yeah, for murder you got killed. How about cursing your parents? How about blaspheming the name of the Lord? You could be stoned to death for that. There's definitely no repeat offenders with the death penalty. But God is saying it's not like that anymore. But He is saying that He's still a God that does the right thing. And the right thing is, notice verse 21, punishment. So again, punishment and payment are two totally different things. The payment was taken care of 2,000 years ago on Calvary. That is done, hallelujah. And the day that we got saved, our sins were paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. But now we're God's child. And He's our Father. And a father, a good father, has to punish his children when they disobey. Otherwise, he's not a good father. And so God is saying, if we choose to willfully turn our backs on the right thing and sin against God's word, we can look forward to some punishment if we don't get it right. Because He explains that when we do sin, notice He says in verse 29, "Suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." He's basically saying we are essentially insulting or blaspheming not only the Son of God, but the blood of the Son of God and the Spirit of God. Now the Son of God, because He's the one that died for us and gave us eternal life. The blood of Jesus Christ, because that is what paid for our sin. And the Spirit of God, because He actually now indwells us. And doesn't the Bible say, quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Spirit? Because God, who is holy, indwells us. That's why He's called the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Because He's 100% holy. And He lives within us. And when we sin, We hurt him in a way. That's what quench and grieve means. Because he's holy, and when we sin, that is the opposite of holiness. But when God punishes us, that is not payment for sin. People get the two confused. There's a group out there of a billion people that think, you know, you've got to somehow punish yourself or climb the steps on your knees or whatever to make penance. It doesn't work like that. The penance was done on the cross. But a good father will punish his child for disobedience. And God talks about that in two chapters over, chapter 12, if you turn over there. Verse 6. Notice the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. And scourgeth who? Every son." This isn't limited to some Christians. This is guaranteed for all Christians. How do we know this? Verse 8, "If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." God says that one of the evidences of knowing you're a Christian is if you go through your Christian life and you never get any punishment from God, you're not saved. That's what he says. Because you will sin. Unfortunately, it's a fact. And you will often sin and not deal with that sin, and God will have to punish you for it. It's part of the growing process. It's the same with our children. When we punish them for their sin, hopefully as they get older, we have to do it less and less because they're learning. It's the same with Christians. Hopefully as we mature and grow up, we need our punishment less and less. But there will be some. God just said so. All. Verse 8. All are partakers. Jesus says in Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Chastisement and love go hand in hand. Not only in the home, but with God. And God is saying that when we do sin, we are essentially blaspheming Jesus, His blood, and the Holy Ghost. Think about that. Verse 30. "For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord." And again, "The Lord shall judge his people." There are two aspects to God's punishment or chastisement. One of them is children need it to learn and grow. And we are children of God. When we're first saved, we're babies. And then we begin to grow, and we begin to grow. And often we step off the path. Often we don't want to listen to God. We want to do our own thing. We get selfish or self-centered or whatever. And what happens? God has to kind of wake us up a little bit with some punishment. And that's one aspect. But there's a second aspect, and that is this. We also are now God's representatives. We claim the name Christian. We are ambassadors for God. And God has some expectations for His ambassadors, and that is that we act like we should. The Bible says, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." What's the vocation? Christian. Christian means Christ-like or Christ-follower. And so God not only punishes us because we need it to grow, but He also does it because He doesn't want His testimony tarnished by our behavior. If you look in 1 Corinthians 11, he talks a bit more about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, in this particular passage, what was the Corinthian church, they were a bit of a mess, and the book was written primarily as a rebuke to correct all kinds of wrong teaching, all kinds of wrong thinking. And one of the things that was happening at the Corinthian church is they had turned the Lord's Supper into a drunken feast, into an opportunity to show off wealth for those who had it. Which is a shame, because it was meant to be a remembrance of Jesus Christ's death. And so Paul goes on to explain to them that because of this behavior, verse 30, "For this cause, Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That word sleep for Christian is not talking about taking a nap. That means physical death. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Notice how God equates chastening with judging. He says, if we would judge ourselves, if we would look at our own selves in light of Scripture on a daily basis and judge ourselves and make the corrections ourselves, we wouldn't need the chastisement. We wouldn't need the punishment. But often we just don't listen. We're like a stubborn child. Anybody ever known any of those? That's what we're like when we refuse to listen. There's been a principle in Scripture from the beginning. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. If we choose to continually disobey, God will have to chastise. To grow us and to protect His testimony. Which both are very important to the Lord. And so he goes on to finish here, and this is the key verse of our passage. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, if you would, go back to the Old Testament, Psalm 76, and verse 7. Often when we hear the phrase, fear of the Lord, we primarily think about reverence. We think about putting God first, and all of those things are true. But there's another aspect of fearing the Lord, and that is fearing the Lord. There should be within us an underlying fear, if you will, of the punishment. It's okay to have that. It's healthy. Just like when our children are growing up and they learn that there's consequences for disobedience, they're afraid of the consequences because they're painful. That's okay. God told us to do it that way. It's the same with us as Christians. It's a fearful thing to continually disobey and not be concerned about it because God's going to deal with it. And there should be an underlying fear. Notice Psalm 76, verse 7. Thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Go to Psalm 89, verse 7, while we're in Psalms. 89, verse 7. The Bible says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. And while we're in Psalms, go back to chapter 2, please, verse 11. Psalm 2:11. Notice the Bible says, serve the Lord with what? Fear. And rejoice with trembling. Serve the Lord with fear. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's okay to fear chastisement. God wants that in our lives. Yes, it'd be wonderful if we just always had the desire to do right. Because then there wouldn't be a problem. But sometimes we have the desire to do wrong. And when those times occur, it's okay to stop and think, but there are consequences for doing wrong. And they might be painful. It's okay to fear that. Because we had it with our parents. You know, in that passage in Hebrews 12, the Bible says we have had fathers which corrected us and we gave them reverence. It's the same with God. When we're growing up, we love our parents, but there's an underlying fear of the consequences of disobedience. There should be an underlying fear of the consequences of disobedience with the Lord. You know, when the Bible is talking about Job, let's turn back there, Job 1:1. And I want to show you something because Job, the Bible says, was, which It's amazing that God would say this about a man. But the Bible says he was perfect and upright. Notice Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that what? Feared God and eschewed evil. That word eschewed means hated. He feared God. And that fear of God helped him do right. Helped him to be perfect and upright in all of his ways. Now, if you would look at Acts chapter 9, this is particular passage is obviously New Testament is talking about the disciples and their followers, all the disciples essentially. And notice, I want you to see what it says about these particular disciples. It says in Acts 9, verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and look at this next phrase, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. It says they were walking in the fear of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil, in Proverbs 16:6. How would the fear of the Lord lead us to depart from evil? Well, God's explained that to us here in Hebrews chapter 10. It's a fear of punishment. That's okay. He's telling us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And then if you would, go to Romans chapter 3. And really, this kind of summarizes the problem with Christianity today. Because we look around us and we see just all this wildness and craziness. And people just basically living like the devil and claiming to be Christians and think, how can this be? And God explains it this way. Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. If there was a fear of God before their eyes, they wouldn't walk and live like the devil. And in some ways, Christians have lost this fear of the Lord in their lives. And God wants it to be there because He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to be a reflection of Him. He wants us to be an ambassador for Him. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to be a child that's growing and living for Him and loving Him. And of course, as we know, love is what we do. And so when we are serving God, we are loving Him. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, 1 John 5:3. There needs to be this aspect of fearing the punishment if we choose not to live for God. And the thing is, it's not this great big mystery, because the Holy Spirit who lives within us, one of His missions to Christians is He will reveal those things that need dealt with. Whenever we get on our knees or we open the Word of God, if there's something in our lives that needs dealt with, that we're headed down a path of some chastisement, God's not just going to all of a sudden send some chastisement and we're going to go, oh, I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. It doesn't work like that. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God like a mirror, and He's already been speaking to us about that thing. Every time we go to pray, He reminds us about that thing. It's just that we're rebels sometimes and we don't want to listen. But the Holy Spirit will speak to us about it. And Lord willing, the goodness of God will lead us to repentance. If it doesn't, the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us about it. But eventually, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Eventually, the time will come when the chastisement is necessary. So it is a fearful thing. And it should guide our lives. Because we love God so much. We want to please Him. But we also know that He's a good Father. And that if we, in our weak times, choose to disobey and walk away from God, our loving Father will do what's right. He will chastise us. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.